the right time to express on behalf of the whole congregation the gratitude that we all feel for the gift of music in this sacred season, for the adaptability and flexibility of all of our musicians and the gifts that they have given us as we await the coming of the Christ child and celebrate in a new way this year. I invite you to listen now for God's word as it comes to us from the first chapter of Matthew's gospel, Matthew's Christmas story. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Each year, on a Sunday afternoon just before Thanksgiving, the children of Vandalia Presbyterian Church in Greensboro, North Carolina, would gather in the sanctuary pews with anxious anticipation for the parts to be distributed. Now, even though my father was the director, I was just as clueless as any of my peers as our names were called and roles were given for the annual Christmas pageant. But like all of my classmates and my friends, I was hoping, praying, really, for anyone but Joseph. You see, no one wanted to be Joseph. For starters, you had to endure the ridicule of being married to one of the girls your own age. At that point, we knew just enough to be dangerous about all of that, and so this produced all kinds of taunts and teasing of Joseph. But more importantly, when Nancy Cox and her crew of volunteers led us to the costume closet, Joseph got a raw deal. Wise men got the coolest props. Treasure chests and ornate bottles of potion and elixir. Shepherds got to hold staffs and have illicit sword fights off stage. Angels, of course, got the glitters, the glitter, the halos, the stars. And even the animals got interesting costumes, floppy ears, tails. Joseph got a bathrobe and a place to stand. That was it. And if you were a performer, this was the ultimate insult. Joseph didn't even get a line to speak. Joseph was boring. A passive observer as the story marched on. He was already in place behind the donkey when the shepherds arrived. He stood in the shadows while the spotlight lit up the manger just a few inches away. Now, my apologies in advance to my 10-year-old buddy Quinn Miller, who will be Joseph at Wednesday evening's Meet Me at the Manger. I'm sure that he will make the most of the role on Wednesday night. Quinn is a performer. But I must say that the kids at Vandalia weren't alone in their assessment. Turn over to the Gospel of Luke for a moment. Luke, who gives us the most exhaustive Christmas story, barely mentions Joseph at all. In fact, the truth is, without these few verses this morning from Matthew's gospel, we would know almost nothing about the human father of Jesus. And even with this story, we're missing all the pathos, all the important details, all the subtext, the emotion. For the text reads more like a report, moving from one action to the next with no pause to consider emotional impact of these weighty events. Here's what we do know. Mary and Joseph are engaged to be married. According to the first century Jewish custom, their engagement is a binding contract between their families, a kind of arranged marriage. And so even though the couple does not yet live together, they are legally bound to one another. Throughout this engagement period, any contact would have been strictly limited, carefully arranged, and watched. And so when Matthew sort of matter-of-factly reports that Mary was found to be with child, we are left wondering who delivered the news to Joseph and how it was received. When we encounter Joseph in Matthew's first chapter, he knows nothing about Gabriel's visit to Mary. He knows nothing about the angel's stunning message. He only knows that his fiance is expecting and he is not the father. The news must have been shocking, devastating, earth-shattering for the young man. Still, despite the heartbreak and pain, Joseph is prepared to do the righteous thing. Not the legal thing, mind you, but the action that feels right in his own mind and heart. He will not publicly accuse or condemn Mary. He will quietly, privately allow her to go her own way in hopes of recovering some semblance of a future for them both on their individual terms. It is a response of restraint. It is a response of compassion and mercy. It preserves Mary's dignity, and it might have even preserved her life. For though the practice had moderated some by the first century, the legal code of Leviticus authorized the stoning of one who violated a marriage contract. And so we learn from his actions that Joseph was a man of compassion. But how did it feel? What were his thoughts? I can't imagine that he was sleeping much in those days. But somehow Joseph manages to doze off. And this is when the angel appears. It's important to note, obvious, but important to note that Joseph did not expect what came next. We who've heard the story before know the next verse. But Joseph was living these events in real time. Angel visits are pretty rare, even in Scripture. And who can rely on a dream, especially when one is as troubled as Joseph? Well, the angel calls Joseph by his name, Son of David, and begins with the typical divine introduction, "Do not be afraid." Before describing what has happened and what he must now do. And here's one miracle that sometimes gets lost in the shuffle. One miracle that gets left out of the pageant. Joseph believes the angel's incredible news. Joseph follows the bewildering command. I understand how we miss it. Matthew records that chain of events as if it were the most natural response in the world to a message received in a dream. Joseph woke up, he took Mary as his wife, he kept his distance for several months, she gave birth to a son, Joseph named him Jesus. Now hold on a minute. Rewind the tape and change the lens. Zoom in on Joseph for just a moment before we get to the manger. Contemplate the courage it took to trust and follow the inconceivable instructions of an unexpected messenger. This week, this final Sunday before the sacred day arrives, we remember that Christmas was possible because an ordinary man chose to risk it all for the sake of love. As a friend of mine and a fellow preacher writes, if you study religious art, Joseph is sometimes portrayed as an old man betrothed to a much younger Mary. I don't know about that, but I know that Joseph reads the Bible like one who has some years behind him. Joseph has learned something that too many religious folks never figure out. He learns that the only way to read the Bible is through the lens of love. That's where the light shines. See, this child is God's son, but God desperately wants Joseph to be the child's daddy. Just as God chose Mary to be this child's mother, God chooses Joseph to raise his son. I can't help but think that when the world was falling apart for Jesus, it helped him to have a daddy who knew how to choose love. Scripture lacks details and invites imagination. I like to imagine what Joseph was thinking when he held his son for the first time, when he spoke the name that the angel had given him. Your name is Jesus. You see, at the birth of a baby, a father is born as well. I will never forget the first moment each of our sons was placed in my hands, or the first words I spoke to them. May you always know and never doubt how deeply loved you are. And so it was when Jesus was born. Joseph begins the journey of loving that child, of giving the best he has and the most he can. The promise of love made in a dream is kept in that moment when the eyes of the infant and father meet for the first time. And in that moment, Joseph must have known he made the right choice. The only choice love could make. Several years ago, I was introduced to a relatively new Christmas anthem that has an unconventional focal point, an unconventional lens. The title is The Hands That First Held Mary's Child. Written by Yale Divinity School professor Tom Traeger, the song gives Joseph the starring role in the pageant. The second stanza is so moving. When Joseph marveled at the size of that small breathing frame and gazed upon those bright new eyes and spoke the infant's name, the angel's words he once had dreamed poured down from heaven's height, and like the host of stars that beamed, blessed earth with welcome light. I'm glad that Matthew didn't allow us to skip by Joseph. For I think this story reminds us that God needs ordinary people like you and me to choose love, even when it's difficult. To accept the unexpected and trust God's surprising plan. In fact, I wonder if that old angel isn't still hanging around. I wonder if God isn't still looking for people to whom he can give his son. I wonder if the invitation to choose love might be extended to us this very week. It was 2011, Christmas Eve, Atlanta, Georgia. Sarah and I were enjoying a quiet Christmas Eve morning, though my nervous energy about preaching that holy night for the very first time was growing by the moment. Just before noon, our doorbell rang. We certainly weren't expecting anyone on Christmas Eve, but we did live just a few yards from the MARTA station, so we had occasional visits from strangers. Sarah opened the door to find a young couple, maybe in their late teens. The man held a rake in his hands, and the woman was holding closely a baby who could not have been more than a few months old. They weren't dressed warmly enough to keep out the cold that day, but they had hopeful looks on their faces as the young man lifted up his rake and said, "Sir, I noticed you have lots of leaves in your yard. Maybe I could rake them for you today." How could we say no? Feeling slightly frustrated by this unexpected interruption and the time it was taking from us, I watched as Sarah graciously invited the woman and baby into our home and found them something to drink. As she walked in, the young mother pointed to one of our Christmas decorations, a series of block letters spelling the word peace. She commented on how good it made her feel to see that word. 2 hours later, when I left for a full afternoon and evening of services at Morningside Presbyterian Church, Sarah was beginning to pack up clothes and food to send with our new friends as they walked back out into the cold on that holy afternoon. I left in a rush, gathering my things. And as I was driving to church, unexpected tears began to fall. My heart knew what my brain could not yet understand. Knew what had happened to us. This young family's unscheduled arrival was the opportunity, the moment to experience the meaning of Christmas, and I had almost missed it. Thank God that in their grateful words and anxious eyes, Sarah had sensed an unexpected blessing. Thank God she had seen them through the lens of love. Thank God she opened the door. My friends, this week, in the midst of all your preparations for this unusual Christmas, the moment will come with its promise of vulnerable love. The God of the universe held in the trembling hands of an anxious father. This week, trust God's promise. Find your courage and faithfully answer God's call. Let Joseph be your guide. Choose to see it all through the lens of love. Amen.